Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Well, good morning, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. And we're broadcasting from Patriot Hill territory in the heart of the American Redoubt. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you, and good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Thrash or Call Me Thursday.
Thrash 'em.
Well, you know, what's really cool is I kind of feel like the nation is catching up to everything that you and I have been talking about. You know,
warning about for years.
Right. We have been describing communism. We've been describing the perils of communists, you know.
Yes.
And it's been, we've just, I don't know, I feel like we've just beat it to death, literally.
You know, you get tired of talking about it, and trying to convince people and educate people, which we've done, but
right.
Largely, you stare at eyes glazed over, and they're staring at you like communism.
Right. It's like a concept that is so foreign to what they're thinking about and what they're used to that right. It just makes almost no sense to them as to why you'd even be talking about it.
It's so 1980s.
Right. And so what's really interesting is to see people like Marjorie Taylor Greene. You know, granted, she has received a couple bills from me now, and you know, the Stop Child Trafficking bill and the Checkmate bill, whichever one you want to call it, and so did she actually read them? I don't know. It's hard to say. But Trump also did, and they are she's kind of his representative right now. Mm-hmm. And so what's interesting is she posted on her channel, she said, Democrat activist judges are trying to destroy President Trump, the Trump family, and their incredibly successful businesses.
Right.
Our country is being taken over by communists. Well, hooray. She gets it. That's so great that she gets it. And so if there's
right.
if there's somebody in Congress that actually gets that, are they not aware of Article 4, Section 4?
Well, when you replace history with you know, social engineering, then you're going to get what you have now. You're going to have a largely asleep populace that doesn't understand what communism is. They don't understand what the threat of globalism. And it hasn't hit home. Now it's hitting home. It's hitting. It's to the point where you can't ignore it.
Yeah, it's visible. It's
right.
visible because of the border. It's visible because of the gas prices. It's visible because of the absolute insanity coming out of the White House every single day.
Well, yeah. I mean, they have no. You can't trust anything they say. I mean, look at the mounting evidence that we have that Congress has. Done in their investigation showing connections of, you know, communist China making payments to the Biden family, and they turn right around. I mean, evidence,
right.
Not speculation, not hearsay, not rumors. This is evidence of their own banking accounts, and the White House says that's conspiracy theory.
Yeah. And you know,
what they're hoping is that we'll think it's conspiracy theory and move on, but
right. And they're trying not to trip over the evidence that is mounting up around them. You know
right.
what I mean? If they were to start stacking it around these people that they're asking these questions to, they wouldn't even be able to get out of the room past all of these documents.
Oh.
That's how high the evidence is stacking up. And, you know, Steve Bannon, he said an interesting thing. He said, "You're seeing the end of a nation. Who governs you, and what role do the American people have in standing up to the destruction of the greatest republic in mankind's history?"
Sounds like you and me talking.
I know, exactly. This is what we've been saying forever, and so I guess it's kind of nice, though. It is kind of nice that collectively the nation is starting to see it.
Yeah. Well, it gets to the point where you can't ignore it anymore, and usually by the time that happens, it's too late.
Right.
And this is what all of these people who have emigrated from Europe and from South America, Cuba, or even anywhere where it's, they left a communist regime, they're screaming at us that what is happening is what they fled. Right. And that we must do everything we can to fight for America at all costs because there's no place else to go.
Right. All those people in the other nations are still wanting to come here. They're yeah. wanting to be able. I think by and large, all the people around the world keep America in the back of their minds for, you know, if it ever gets bad enough, we can always flee to America.
And it is getting that bad. South America countries are being swept with communist takeovers.
Right.
You know, in their so-called elections. They figured out elections. They figured out how to get away with stealing elections. And so,
yep.
you know, one of the Venezuelan immigrants was asked by a journalist, why did you vote for socialism when you were in Venezuela? He said, we didn't vote for socialism. We voted for food and we didn't get any.
Right.
And that's what it is. It's empty promises that yep. never come through. And then when things deteriorate, they're so bad, you're looking for greener pastures and they're looking for America, which is the big domino to fall.
Right.
You know, by the globalists. And part of that tearing down of the Republic is opening our borders, bringing right. those people here. So
well, and like what they were saying, that is one of Lenin's biggest tactics was he said, you want me to show you power, show me somebody that's starving while I hold the food. And so, you right. know, these people are evil. They,
yes,
are
they are
evil to the core.
Yes, they are.
And so, you know, like those Venezuelans said, that was the Leninist tactic being used against them, and they wanted food and got none.
Right.
And so, you know, it's not even like they're just going to say, okay, do this and then we'll feed you. They say, do this, and then they do it, and then they don't feed them, and they starve to death. And that's
right.
That's what Stalin did in Russia as well, which killed 20 million people in the massive famine over
yes,
there.
That's right.
And so
food's been used as a weapon for eons.
Yep. For sure.
Well, let's get to the word of the day. Speaking of food that they can't take away, that nourishes us for
that's right.
for all time.
Right.
Yeah.
Jesus, the bread of life.
That's right.
Let's not forget it.
That's right.
Okay. Well, good. So the word of the day for Thrash a Commie Thursday comes to us from 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 8 through 17, which read under the title, The Philistines Defeated. Now when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And David heard of it and went out against them. Then the Philistines went and made a raid on the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? The Lord said to him, Go up, for I will deliver them into your hand. So they went up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. Then David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a breakthrough of water. Therefore, they called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And when they left their gods there, small g, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. Then the Philistines once again made a raid on the valley. Therefore, David inquired again of God, and God said to him, You shall not go up after them. Circle around them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when you hear a sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall go out to battle. For God has gone out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. So David did as God commanded him, and they drove back the army of the Philistines from Gibeon as far as Gezer. Then the fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations.
Awesome.
And so I love that story.
Yes.
That right there is, I've used that story for my own motivation so many times when I was in the property rights group
yes.
and fighting for water and property rights that if you seek the Lord and his advice, He will help you and direct you.
Yes.
And he does.
And he will give you the victories.
He absolutely does. Yeah. And so that is something that we all need to keep in mind, because, you know, everybody tends to think that, well, I'm just one person and I can't do anything because, you know, what can one person do? This is
right.
This is a huge monster and I am but one person. But that's not what it is. The mistake is thinking it's just one person. It's actually you and God.
Yes.
And that is all that needs to ever happen.
Which is undefeatable.
That's
yes.
right. That's right. Because God wants you to be his hands and feet, and he will provide you with the victory. You know,
yes.
He directs you. He thoughts come into your head that just make such sense. And so this is something that Christians can expect if they need the help of the Lord, like we do right now in this nation.
Yes, we do.
You know, looking out here, it's a daunting, horrible thing that we're looking at. And we need to seek God's counsel on this, without a doubt. And so, you know, and in the meantime, do everything that you can do, like we're saying, be the 10-minute Christian. It doesn't, that's in fact, that was the majority of my effectiveness in the property rights group for 4.5 years, was doing something 10 minutes a day, very specifically to each point, just 10 minutes a day, and you can keep and build a massive movement going.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that can be applied here as well. Be the 10-minute Christian. Spend 10 minutes each day doing something to stop the electronic voting machines, to stop child trafficking, to stop the border from being wide open. Do something 10 minutes a day.
Yeah. That doesn't mean only be a Christian for 10 minutes. You're a Christian 24/7. But I totally get what you're saying, and I agree. You dedicate 10 minutes to an action item after prayerfully, you know, seeking his direction, and you commit yourself to that. Print out that letter to your congressman and sign it, and, you know, send it off when you go to town. You know, whatever it is, it's all of these things. Just, you know, they just take 10 minutes to be, a Christian, the citizen Christian, or a Christian citizen, 10-minute Christian citizen, you know, where you're doing something that's action. You're not just praying about it. I hope the problem goes away.
And then,
and you don't do anything about it. You're not acting as the hands and feet for the Lord in a culture where this is not the Roman Empire, where somebody else is in charge and you have no say in the matter.
Right.
This country belongs to us.
Absolutely.
And we have a role, we have a responsibility and a duty to be actively participating in it. Because if you don't, you create a vacuum that evil will fill.
That's right. Yep. Paul says it. He says, don't just pray. Yes, pray, but don't just pray. Pray and act. Walk your faith. And that's something that has always sat well with me too, that if you believe what you read in the Bible, you better be walking your faith. Because if you're not walking in what you believe, I have to question whether you'd actually believe what you read.
Well, with David, in both of these situations, God didn't say, no, you just stay home. I'll go get him for you.
That's right.
Right. No, he's like, no, you're strapping your sandals on. You're getting your armor on. You're going to carry your sword. You're going to walk through the desert.
Right.
You're going to be hot and thirsty. I'm going to give you the victory. And, you know, the first battle, in both of these battles, you're going to have to get bloody.
That's right. You're going to have to slay some people.
Yeah, you're going to have to swing that sword. You're going to have to chase them down, and you're going to be whooped at the end of the day, and you'll sleep good tonight, but you're going to be
because
victorious.
Because you win.
Right.
That's right. Well, and, you know, that's the point, too. I mean, this is such a great little condensed story, because it gives two examples where David specifically inquires, shall I go up against the Philistines and will you deliver them into my hand? And he said, yes, go up, for I will do that. And then he says again, he inquired again, and God said, You shall not go up after them. Instead, God tells them how to actually circle around them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. So he basically tells them how to ambush them and where.
Right.
So that he will win. That, you know, that is the kind of instruction you need.
And then on the second one, wait until you hear the sound of marching troops, right, in the treetops.
Right, yes, yes. When you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, I mean, it just, it doesn't get any handier than that. My goodness.
No kidding. Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the Elisha with his servant, who, when they were surrounded and God, he prayed, you know, God, open up his eyes and let him see. And when he did, is the I don't know, the sage, the assistant, his eyes are open and he sees all of these horses and chariots and warriors, angels all over the hills, completely surrounding the enemy that was surrounding them.
Right.
You know, so, you know, that's there. That's right on the other side of the thin veil that we, you know, we can't see.
No kidding.
Except for special occasions like that. But it's awesome to see God work.
No kidding. Love it.
So maybe we should pray, Lord, if I go up against the communist, will you give me victory?
I think that, first of all, he calls us to ask his advice all the time. He says, inquire of me, and he's insulted when we don't.
That's a good way to get your behind handed to you.
Well, exactly. And who better to ask than God?
Yep.
And so, you know, people often say, well, I don't hear God. So keep asking. And sometimes maybe just sit and be quiet.
Right.
You know, sit and wait. Ask and wait. Ask and wait. Ask and wait. And then pretty soon, somehow, you start to get this inkling as to, I think I should do this or that.
Yes.
You know, and
start
you. Yep. And you start training yourself to hear it. And then through trial and error of seeing what you heard correctly and what you didn't hear correctly, you know, you start to hone that voice that you're hearing.
Yes.
And you start to be able to pick it out. And it does, like everything, it takes practice, but it's a very important thing to learn to hear the Lord, because he does. He wants you to ask, and he wouldn't want you to ask if he wouldn't answer.
That's right.
So by all means.
Well, good one. Okay. So this is First Chronicles
chapter 14, verses 8 through 17.
Yeah, very cool account to read. Yep. So thank you for that.
Oh, praise God.
All right. Well, we went a few minutes long here in segment one, but we'll take a break and come back with segment two. We've got some thrashing commies going on here, and more than we have time for, but we're going to have fun slaying and going through it.
For sure.
All right, stick around. This is The Voice of the American Redoubt in segment one, brought to you by Katie Armor, serious body armor for serious times. Christian Patriot owned CATI Armor. KatieArmor.com. We'll be right back.
And they made a mistake. They tried to get Trump on their side, so they invited Donald Trump to Davos, I think a couple of times. But in January, when Donald Trump, I think, really began to see the beast that he was up against, he went to Davos, to the World Economic Forum, and he stuck a mega finger in their eye.
We're committed to conserving the majesty of God's creation and the natural beauty of our world. But to embrace the possibilities of tomorrow, we must reject the perennial prophets of doom and their predictions of the apocalypse. These alarmists always demand the same thing: absolute power to dominate, transform, and control every aspect of our lives. We will never let radical socialists destroy our economy, wreck our country.
2 days after Donald Trump gave that speech, the 89-year-old leftist weirdo billionaire George Soros made an emergency intervention where, at Davos, once again, warning that the U.S. 2020 election will determine the, quote, fate of the whole world, for the Vatican, for Pope Francis, and for his friends at the UN, Donald Trump is the problem, obviously, friends.
Clearly, I consider the Trump administration a danger to the world, but I regard it as a purely temporary phenomenon that will disappear in 2020.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
Welcome back, Patriots, to segment two of the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. And segment two brought to you by Prepping 2.0, helping to take your preps to the next level. And the website is prepping2-0.com. Lady Liberty, segment two.
Yes. So everyone, welcome back to Thrasher Call Thursday. Yeah, because we've got a couple great clips here, and we're going to start off with a clip where we've got Texas Rep. Jody Arrington right there at Eagle Pass.
Yeah.
And they're standing underneath this huge overpass, this highway overpass. And so the audio is not great, but it's important to listen to what they have to say.
I'm here with my good friend Jody Arrington. We want everybody in Texas, West Texas, to know that we're in Eagle Pass today. It's unacceptable. Yes, it's an invasion. There are no consequences. We've heard that from all sorts of Border Patrol agents, that there are no consequences. This could end today if the president would decide that he has the political will to send people back where they came from. Instead, he's created a humanitarian crisis. I'm glad to be in the fight with my friend Jody, and we're going to go back to Washington and make sure that we actually take the steps to secure this border.
Shameful. It's disgraceful for a country as great as ours to cede operational control to terrorist drug cartels. That's what this president has done by not enforcing the laws, by not providing for the common defense. And then what we have behind us is another consequence. It's called an epic humanitarian crisis, the likes of which we've never seen on U.S. soil. And so not only are the drug cartels killing Americans by pushing their poison into our communities, but they are abusing these folks and exploiting them because, as August said, there's no accountability for coming to this country in violations of our law, our sovereignty, and jeopardizing the safety of our citizens. So, you know, we stand united to protect Texas, this country, and to reverse this open border lawlessness.
Yeah, now where they're standing there is under the overpass. The overpass is the legal way to enter into the U.S., and there's hundreds of illegals just walking through, passing right under the bridge, coming through. And it's thousands and thousands by the day.
That's right. That's
yeah.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Well, and then we've got something that's also very promising, I think, especially the end of his statement. We've got Representative Byron Donalds, who is actually speaking to C-SPAN about this ridiculous thing that they've got going on with the budget over Ukraine and whether the Senate's going to look at it and et cetera. Listen to what they have to say.
The Senate's bipartisan proposal.
Yeah.
What do you make of it? Would you support that if McCarthy brought it to the floor?
No, that thing is dead over here. Are you kidding me?
Why?
Well, first of all, you continue spending. You have $6.2 billion for Ukraine. They do nothing to secure our southern border. That is just a non-starter. The Senate needs to get real.
You've all
seen the images at the southern border. It has to stop immediately. And this government should not continue to be funded if we don't secure our border.
The Senate's bipartisan.
Exactly. That's what we've been saying. There's no funding. If you won't secure the southern border, we're not going. Why are we going to give you money so you can turn around and give billions to another country to fight their war?
Right, exactly. Especially when Article 4, Section 4 says that exactly, that their job is to secure the border.
Yes.
And so if they're not doing their job, and it's not just like they've not done their job for a day or two and it's gotten out of control for just a day or
right.
two. we are well past the 2.5 year mark.
Yes.
That this has been going on, and it's so illegal. It's they could be put in jail for even a day of allowing this, and still nothing's happening. And people keep saying, oh, we're up to 2 million people now. No, we are well past the we were well past 11 million at the beginning of the summer.
Oh yeah.
And so now we're probably up to 15 million
or 20 or more.
Right, exactly. Yeah. They don't even know the numbers, let alone who these people are. And like yesterday, in the clip that we played from the UK, it was the UK Home Secretary Suella Braverman that was describing that this whole idea of just throwing your borders wide open and allowing every person to come flooding across, this thing that they're trying to call multiculturalism,
right.
It has horribly failed, because that tactic is, that is the most irresponsible way to do that. I mean, if it was even legal to have all of those people just suddenly show up here, which it's not legal,
right.
It takes a very, very long time to process these people properly in a humane way. And so what they're doing is not only illegal, but it's irresponsible to the point of humanitarian crisis.
It is a massive humanitarian crisis, and it's not incompetence. This is a deliberate act to destroy America.
Absolutely.
We're under attack, and this is just one of the prongs in this multi-pronged attack against the United States. I mean, our economy is being attacked, our sovereignty, our military is being weakened, our borders being opened wide up. This is deliberate. This is not an accident.
Well, and, that's
you know,
that's for sure.
It's good to hear people in Congress that are speaking out against it. They're recognizing things for what they are, and they're also saying the same thing we're saying: shut this government down. You know,
exactly.
Stop the funding. Yep. Shut it down. Bring it down if it's not going to protect our country.
If it's not going to function like a government, then they don't get another dollar. I you know, that's the whole premise behind the First Amendment and redress of grievances.
Yeah, yep. Well, we're under attack, and the enemy is within. So pray for the Republic, folks. Join us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for the morning commute, and we'll talk to you then.
That's right. You all have a thankful Thrashakami Thursday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.